Lord, we're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for your blessings, Lord, and we're thankful for all the things that you've provided for us. Lord, we are thankful for the good days, and we're also thankful for the bad days. We pray, Lord, for those that are not here. We pray for those that are struggling and those that are hurting, Lord. And we pray for those that are here that want to hear your message. And we ask and pray, Lord, that your message would go out as we worship you in this day. As we worship you, Lord, in song and in word and in prayer. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use me as the tool in the Master's hand, and the focus would not be not on me, but on the message that you would have, that you've had prepared for us this day. Lord, that would apply it to my life first, and then to the rest, to all that have ears to hear. It would be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I were to ask you, did everything go your way this week? Did things go good? No problems. I had a great week. Every day of the week was awesome. Praise God for that. I don't know that many of us could answer that question that way. Perhaps you can. If you can, you know, we thank the Lord for that. But I'm sure that there's a time when something went wrong, when something didn't go your way, when you wanted something to get done a certain way, or you were anticipating something to happen and it didn't. Perhaps you've been struggling for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month. We call these times peaks and valleys of life. And with the help of the Lord, that's what I would like to talk about today, the peaks and valleys of our lives. And I'd like to talk about the physical, but also I like the physical bleeds into the spiritual, our spiritual lives, the peaks and valleys of our spiritual lives. Peaks and valleys remind us of where we've been and how far we've come, and they remind us of our purpose. So with this morning's meditation, I'd like to talk about a young man in the Old Testament and his peaks and valleys. And with the Lord's help, we're also going to meditate upon Apostle Paul had some comments that he made about his peaks and valleys. And we know that Christ also has some peaks and valleys. So turn with me to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 39. The young man I wish to talk about, or we'd like to read, I can't read the whole story. There's like 7 or 8 chapters of this young man's life. His name is Joseph. Genesis 39, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to read all 22 verses. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord had blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, and he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wrought not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me, but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her, to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called to the men of the house and spake unto them, seeing he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us, he came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto thee according to these words, and the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought to us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, and that he left his garment with me, and he fled. And it came to pass, when the master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, after this manner did thy servant to me, and this wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. We expect good days to bring happiness. We expect valleys to trigger frustrations and despair. But you know what? In the time of our lives that we feel we're on the mountaintops, that we're at the peaks, the sun is shining, it's warm, things are good, that same sun that shines when we're at the top shines when we're down in the valleys as well. The Lord led me to Genesis 39, to this story of Joseph, which I think for a while we haven't really had much discussion on. Joseph being a young man, one that his father loved more than the rest of his brothers. And if we read the whole story, we can identify with his peaks and his valleys. We know the story that Jacob told Joseph to go check on your brothers. I want to know their welfare. And so Joseph went. Let me back up the story a little bit here. Before his brothers went to tend the sheep, they were shepherds, Joseph had a dream. And in this dream, he told them the story where eventually they are going to actually bow down to him. And they mocked him and they said, what, you're a little boy. Are we going to now make obeisance to you, is how it says? Are we going to bow down to you? What do you know? You're just a little kid. Revelation from God. Joseph had pretty much the same dream and told his dad, and Jacob kind of had the same attitude. And as time went on, we see that Jacob tells Joseph to go check on his brothers. And while he's out checking on his brothers were very upset with him. And they said, you know what, who's this guy? Who's this kid that's going to make us bow to him? Let's kill him. And Reuben says, no, we're not going to do that. And as the story goes on, they take Joseph and they put him in a dried up well. They take his coat and they leave. And when they come back, Joseph was gone. He was actually sold, as we read in the story. And the brothers are saying, okay, what are we going to do now? And they take his coat, they dip it in blood, and they take it back to Jacob and said that animal killed him. And it brings us to this chapter 39 where it says that God was with him. He was favored. And if we look at our peaks and our valleys, and we compare it to maybe somebody else's, sometimes it may not be that bad. Scripture tells us that whatever Joseph did, God made him to prosper. And then the story, and I'm not going to get into it, with Potiphar's wife. And it just so plays out that he ends up in jail because she wanted to be with him. And he says, no, that's not right. And I think that he knew which direction this was going. And he was not having a good day with it. That was not fun in his life. A man who had the authority over the land, over the people, and he saw how this was going to play out. And so he ended up in jail, in prison. And the story goes on even while he was in prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison, and whatsoever they did, he was the doer thereof. And the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made him to prosper. Even at a time of him being in the valley of his life, he's locked up. He doesn't have his freedom. God was still there, and God blessed him. And the things that he did, he prospered. This is that sun that I spoke of earlier, that still shines when we're in the valley of our lives. While he was in prison, a butler and a baker got thrown in there, and they had a dream. And they were perplexed, and they asked Joseph about the dream. Joseph interpreted the dream, and basically Joseph told him that the butler, you're going to live, the baker, you're going to die. You have 3 days. The scenario was for both of them. And it came to pass that 3 days went by, that the butler was reinstated in his position. However, the baker got hung and he died. When the butler left, Joseph made a comment to him and said, remember me when you're back into your position. Think about me. Think of me. Well, a few years have gone by, and Joseph is still in prison. To the point where now Pharaoh had this dream. And he calls his magicians, and the magicians can't interpret his dream. And all of a sudden, the butler says, oh yeah, I know of a guy. He interpreted this for me. Let's go down and get him. He's in prison. Pharaoh says, bring him to me. And Pharaoh tells Joseph of the dream, and the dream pretty much goes, 7 years there's going to be wealth and prosperity, and 7 years there's going to be famine. And because of this interpretation, now Joseph gets brought out of prison, and now he's made a ruler over the Egyptians. He's given them carte blanche. He says, you can have everything except for the kingdom. Now, we can see that Joseph is riding now on the peak of this mountain. He is no longer in prison, but now he is now one of authority. And as the 7 years came, God blessed Joseph, gave him the wisdom to fill up the barns with corn. After the 7 years, famine came. Jacob says to his boys, go to Egypt and buy us some bread and some corn. And for those of us that know the rest of the stories that plays out, the boys go to get the corn, and Joseph sees his brothers. He hasn't seen them for a long time. And what does he do? He tells them, he turns around and he cries because I haven't seen these my brothers. We see the roller coaster ride that Joseph is going through, the valleys and the peak, and so he's so excited and happy. And as he fills their bag with corn, he gives them double, and then he takes more money and he puts the money into their sacks and sends them away. And when they go home, they look, and what's in their sack, the money that they were supposed to buy the food with, was still in there, but on the other side, there was twice as much. And now they're getting upset, they're getting afraid and saying, hey, where'd this money come from? Jacob says, go back. Go back and give it to him. Go back and tell him what happened. And again, when Joseph sees his brothers coming back, he turns around and he doesn't show his emotions to his brothers. Finally, he couldn't help himself, and he tells them who he is. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold to the Egyptians. And now all of a sudden, this prophecy, or if you will, the dream that Joseph had as a boy, now is being played out, where now they are actually making, their scripture says that they made the obeisance back to him. And as the story then goes on, at the end, Joseph calls for his father Jacob to come. And now they're all reunited back together. I'm skipping a lot of the details. And this is all within the first seven chapters but within Genesis from 39 on to 30 to 46 or 47, if I'm not mistaken. From a man that was favored son, beautiful robe, special treatment, to a slave. The valleys that he was in. Scripture doesn't give us a lot of detail, but it also doesn't tell us that he was disgruntled. It also doesn't tell us of a bad attitude that he had. And then being in charge of Pharaoh's house, to a prison, back to the overseer of Egypt. His peaks were way up there and his valleys were way down there. You know, our peaks and valleys may not be that extreme. And maybe they have. And when you're in that valley, that's extreme for you. Somebody else may not see it, but when you're in that situation, when you're down, when you feel that there's that dark cloud or there's a cloud over you and you just can't seem to get away, that matters to you. So the question is, when we find ourselves in the valley of life, whether it be our jobs, whether it be our health, whether it be our children, whether it be relationships with our spouses, how do we conduct ourselves? I'm going to shift gears here, and we're going to talk about Apostle Paul now. And think about some of his valleys and peaks that he's gone through. In 2 Corinthians 4, he made a statement, verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Second Corinthians 11:25, he says, Three times was I beaten with a rod. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. Night and day I have been in the deep. These are all his physical peaks and valleys, more so valleys than peaks, I guess, if we look at that. Jesus said in John 16:33 that in this world you're going to have trouble. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So when we find ourselves in a time of despair, when we find ourselves in these valleys and also these peaks, do we turn to the Lord and ask for his help? You know, Jesus was in some valleys also. We think of the time that before he went to the cross on Golgotha and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying and so much that the sweat turned into drops of blood. That was a valley. That was a low time for him. A time that he was when he was crucified on the cross, when the Father turned his face from him. That was a low time in his life. And a lot of times when we find ourselves in these low times of life, it kind of bleeds over to our spiritual life. And that's a danger. When I was meditating upon this lesson, I thought of an old poem. I'm not sure if it's a poem, and I think we all have, maybe not all, but and I may have mentioned it about the footprints in the sand. And it goes something, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, that when everything was going well, there were two footprints in the sand. There was mine, and there was yours, Lord, and we were side by side. But when things went bad, I only saw one footprint. Where were you? And his response was, those are my footprints. I was carrying you when you were going through your hard times. Just recently, I was told of a story of a young lady that was born with vision. She could see. She saw the sun, the moon. She saw the colors. Don't quite know what the age was when she contracted a disease to where she became blind. It was only her and her dad. And going through her struggles and her valleys, and being upset that she can no longer see, she started complaining to her dad and saying, I don't want to live anymore. I can't feed myself. I can't dress myself. I can't see. You know, we take it to granted. We look around. We can see the beautiful, vibrant colors. But if we were blind and we think about what we had, what we could see, that would really put us in a pretty deep valley. You see, her father, when they were eating dinner, before they had dinner, they were sitting at the table, would take the fork and the knife and move it to the plate to where she then can touch it and feel it and she can eat. In the mornings, he would get her clothes ready for her and put it by the bedside so when she gets up, she can go ahead and she can feel it and touch it and the clothes is there, she can put her clothes on. The shoes, he takes the shoes and puts it right by the edge of the bed so that when she gets out of bed or her slippers, she can put her feet into the slippers. See, that's much like what our Heavenly Father is like and does to us when we find ourselves in the valleys. We may not realize it, and sometimes we feel that he's not there. Sometimes we feel he doesn't hear us. Sometimes we feel he doesn't see us. But he's there all the time. We're encouraged to make most of every opportunity. And last week, Brother Dushko had a sermon about opportunity. Even when the days are tough. But we're encouraged. Apostle Paul says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he says, I have learned how to be content in whatever I have. In other words, in whatever situation I'm in, I've learned to be content. This is because he knows his relationship with God. He knows his relationship with Christ, and it's strong and it's there. I know how to live with almost nothing, and I know how to live with almost everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, plenty or little. And then he leaves us with a famous quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't go through valleys alone. And we're encouraged and reminded in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So as we think about our peaks and valleys, as we think about the situations that we're in, you know, we look at our problems and our issues, and then you look at somebody from a third world country that doesn't have half of what we have, and then that puts it into perspective a little bit. But when we find ourselves in the valleys, we have those promises that God is near us, that God is with us, and that God will see us through it. I'm reminded of the saying again that says, if God brought you to it, he's going to see you through it. And just remember the times that you're in the peaks of life, that God wants to be remembered then as well. Not only when you're in the valleys, things are going good, and then you cry out to him. And then when we finally get out of that valley, you're on the peak, now it's just like, okay, I'm coasting, things are good. When we're in the valley, let's not use God as a fire extinguisher to put out our problems and then forget about him when we're in the peaks. For every valley, there will be a peak. And on the other side of that peak will be a valley. God didn't promise a life that was going to be without challenge. We've got the devil who likes to put that stick in the spoke of the wheel as we're riding that bike. But if we have that strong relationship with God, let's be encouraged that even in the valleys, he will be there for us. May God bless his word to his body.